A few announcements this morning. Nominations for Wish Tree and Blessing boxes need to be turned in by next Sunday. If you know someone that needs to receive a blessing box, those that need a Wish Tree blessing, turn those in by next Sunday. Call the church office or talk to Rochelle De Leon and get your nomination turned in. If you have any boxes that copy paper came in, we need them for the blessing boxes to be able to pack those up on that coming Sunday in December. Also, there are several sign-up sheets in the Welcome Center. I will tell you what's written here. We have Fifth Sunday Sing. We have turkeys and ham for our Thanksgiving gathering. We have Operation Christmas Child Drop-Off. And there could be anything else up there. That table is packed. Go by, visit it, prayerfully sign up for what you need to sign up for. Thank you for being here this morning. We do have a memory verse, and I know you're excited to get to that, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So let's stand together as we recite this verse together. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 3:16 writes, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." 1 Timothy 3:16. That first one is powerful, and so is the last one. The first one, God was manifested in the flesh. We know that as being Jesus. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten as of the glory of the Father. So we have a picture of God in Christ Jesus, and what a marvelous blessing that He would incarnate Himself to come down, be among us, to pay the price that we deserved for our sin. And so that's a beautiful confession. It's in the Bible, so it's not unbiblical. It's a biblical confession. We should commit it to heart and be ready to preach that at any opportunity that God gives us to do so. Be seated at this time. Keep on memorizing the Word of God. I believe right we have our deacon prayer. All right, Robert Clay Martin will come at this time. Is he in the building? Yes. Robert Clay Martin will come and bring our deacon prayer this morning, and then we will have our Operation Christmas Child dedication.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you for this church body, Lord. We ask for your protection over it, Lord, for all these. We thank you for the men that you put in place here, Lord, to the gatekeepers, Lord, and for the wisdom that you've given them, Lord. We ask that they continue just to use their wisdom to prepare, Lord, for that to never happen, Lord. We thank you that we live in this country, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters and in different areas of the world where they're being persecuted. Right now, Lord, we ask that you hold them, Lord, and that great things to come out of that persecution, Lord. And we ask that if that comes to that here where we are, Lord, we ask that you prepare us, Lord, and that you hold us strong, Lord, that we'll be willing to do whatever you have for us, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with Brother Robert, Lord, and speak through him this morning to us, Lord. And we love you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, and thank you for this Operation Christmas Child ministry, Lord. And we ask that as those gifts go out, Lord, that your name be proclaimed and that people, children, adults, people in other countries, wherever they're going, Lord, that they know your goodness, Lord, and they look to you for salvation, because that's the only place salvation can come from, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, so now we move into another presentation, the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Dedication. This committee has been busy this past year. We had a goal of 1,000 boxes, and I believe we did that by well over 200 boxes. And so we're not bringing all of those down here, but we are going to bring a representation of those boxes here so that we can pray over them as representative over all these boxes as to where they go in the world to be a blessing to someone. So we're going to take some time to do that. Then we will pray over those boxes. So committee, bring them in. Thank you. Okay, as we mentioned, this is just a representation, of course, of the many boxes that we have. And we would be here a long time if we marched them all down. So we're grateful. Children representing children receiving gifts, the adults who've been busy with this committee there, and this is just a representation of the committee. There are many more in the hallways. But we thank God for this ministry and praying that as we are, the church will collect boxes from the area, that we'll be diligent to make sure that that ministry impacts those around the world. So let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we acknowledge today that you are God. We acknowledge, Father, that you have given us the greatest gift. The scripture says the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. You sent him from heaven to come down and to clothe himself in humanity so that he might identify with us and then take on our sin through his sacrifice and pay the price of your wrath against it that should have belonged to us. Father, I pray thanking you for that gift. I thank you that you raised him from the dead because he satisfied your wrath. And I thank you, Father, that now he's raised up in glory and that he's seated at your right hand waiting for the day to come and receive his own to himself. Father, may that gift be represented in these boxes as they go out from here to Dallas and then across the world. We pray, Father, that the gospel, the power of your word, will accompany these gifts. And that, Father God, you would plant that truth in the heart of many children so that, Father God, not only they, but perhaps their homes and their villages might come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, thanking you for the opportunity to be able to offer these gifts up, knowing that you have provided all that it took for us to put them together. And so we give you thanks for what you're going to do as you accomplish your purposes through the giving of these gifts, all of it to your glory and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. All right. God bless. Thank you, guys. Yes, praise the Lord. Thank you, young people, for helping us. This coming Tuesday will be the day designated as Veterans Day. And we must never forget those who have committed themselves to serving, risking life and limb for the sake of the country. And it is God who stirs a heart to answer the call. And I believe it's God who stirs our hearts to respond in appreciation to them. I have several family members that served. I know many of you do as well. In fact, there may be some in our congregation who have served. And I will ask you, please stand at this time. If you've served in a branch of the military, please stand at this time. We want to, and remain standing. We want to pray for you up in the balcony as well. Amen. Allow me to pray for these and for others that have committed their lives to our good. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you today. We again thank you for being our God. In so many ways that you move in our hearts, Lord God, to respond to a call to be useful for you in protecting a nation, to protecting its liberties, its freedoms. And then also, Father, to be a policeman to the rest of the world at times. And then to be a policeman in our homes and our communities. Father, I pray, asking you to form a special blessing for these that are in our midst, who have offered and have served themselves for this nation at some point. And Lord, that appreciation has not waned. We pray for those that are not part of this congregation, Father, who have gone and they've responded, some who are still serving today. We thank you, Father, for them. We pray a watch care over their souls and over their families who have opened up their arms to let their loved ones serve. We pray, Father, for provision to be made for them, for those in the homes. And then we ask you, Father, continue to put in our hearts that gratitude that we need, Lord God, to remember them and never forget and to always honor and support in however way you've given us to do. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for this great nation. We thank you for those that have stood for her freedom. And we pray you bless in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless.
All right. Would you all please stand as we sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with thanks and praise all to your name. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit have freedom to move in this place today. If there's one here today who's never surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and knows the freedom that there is only in Jesus Christ, the Lord, we'd ask you just to prompt them, convict of sin, draw to yourself and save their soul. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Robert, our entire church staff, blessing they are to each of us in your holy name. Lord, we ask that you would anoint Brother Robert as he brings a message of salvation to this group now. And I ask you, dear God, to have your way with us. We love you, Lord, as we worship you now, receiving these tithes and offerings. Take them, Lord, bless them, all to your ongoing glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name.
Well, I can't believe it's only 11:16, can you? Did y'all adjust those clocks up there or what? No? Okay. So here we go. Thank you very much for all that you've done. Everything that we've put in the service this morning is a blessing needed to be addressed, and we thank you for your patience. We're going to resume our mini-series on gratitude this Sunday, and we're going to be doing that through the month of November. And today we'll be addressing the provision of God that is made available so that we can give. Now, this morning we've seen a representation of that with those boxes that were here. Some of you packed boxes personally. Some of you helped pack boxes. Some of you were part of the team. Some of you gave money to pack boxes. Some of you paid so that there would be postage, so that there would be discipleship materials included in those boxes. And I understand there's a group that is going to be given the privilege to go up and, I believe, be in Dallas to do some distribution of those boxes once they get up in that central location. So that there's a lot of ways to give. And there's more than one ministry at this church. Operation Christmas Child is one of those ongoing through the year. There are other ministries that happen along the way through the year, whereby we as followers of Christ will have those opportunities to be able to plug in and minister and to give as the Lord provides those. And I see it strongly as a provision that God gives us to be able to do that as His church. I noticed this morning, again, as I was going over my notes, we're going to be taking a passage out of the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and I had sent in my email to the group verses 10 to 15, but I'm going to read verses 10 through 16. So if you have your Bibles, let's stand together. We're going to read these verses, and it'll be a springboard for us to get this message going this morning. It is a part of, in fact, David's prayer, but David's dedication, declaration, and his blessing to the Lord God about the opportunity that they've been given to give. So note what David says here. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory, the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours." Let's pray together. Our Father, we acknowledge you today again. Thank you for permitting us to be in this house together. Thank you, Father, that you have made your presence known to us today. Lord God, this would be a useless ritual if it were not for you. We pray, Father, our sensitivities, our spiritual sensitivities are heightened to connect and engage with you today. Thank you for your willingness to be in our midst by your Holy Spirit, to speak to us through your words out of Scripture, and then, Father, to gain our hearts in the way of giving us understanding and challenge and even correction. Father, may our ears be attuned, our hearts receptive as you move in our midst today to accomplish your purposes. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. May be seated. Thank you for standing. The context for this passage of Scripture You know, I'm always caught up in the context because that's how we know what the passage is actually saying rather than just making up what it might say. But this is a time in King David's reign when he previously, and you find in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where David had been pondering what he could do for God, because he said, God has blessed me with a house, a palace, a nation, a people, a family, and I live in this palatial place, and yet God's ark, the presence of God, is just in a tabernacle. It came into David's heart to build God a house. I want to make a temple so that his house is in a temple. And David told the prophet, and as a prophet, a yes man, said, yes, do what's in your heart. Well, then the Lord's word came to Nathan and said, Nathan, it's not David's place to build the house. It is his son's place. I will appoint a son, Solomon. And so Nathan had the chore going back to the king after saying, yeah, I support your idea. It sounds good to me, to come back and say, the Lord has said, you will not build God his temple, but your son will. Now, when you think about that, if you heard a word from someone telling you, no, that's not for you to do, it's for someone else, what would be the natural response? Resentment, bitterness, anger, jealousy? For some of us, it would. For some of us, we think somebody just pulled the rug right out from under us. Something that I had on my heart, now it's got to be turned over to someone else. But David didn't. There's a testimony about David, said he was a man after God's own heart. If you know a lot about David, and most of you do because I preached about him, he was a pretty scoundrel kind of guy. But he always had a heart that turned back to God, even when he messed up. And this is what made David unique. This is what makes us unique as believers. We're not called to just play religion and be holy. We are called to have a heart that follows after the Lord God. And David had that kind of heart. And so his response was this prayer. It was to gather all of the assembly of the leadership in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and to say, let's come together. God has said, I won't build a temple, but we're going to build a temple for God. It will be my son who will do it, but we need provisions to do it. And David committed, if you read the earlier verses in this chapter, David committed his own treasury. He even said, above and beyond what I have already given, I will give more so that this temple can be built. And he challenged the leaders, the elders, the princes, the noblemen, and the priests and all in the kingdom to give. And the scripture testifies they gave a lot. What we would call millions of dollars in worth to make sure the temple could be built when it was time for that to happen. And then David turned to the Lord and prayed this prayer. Lord God, we acknowledge today you're God. And we're not even worthy, really, to talk to you, but you've made a way where we can be your people. And we want to first acknowledge that anything that we have given to you came from you. That this is the first point I want to make this morning. We need to ponder and really engage our minds to understand that everything that we have to ever give to the church, to a charity, for goodwill to someone else is a provision that has come from God. Verse 11, David said, all that's in heaven and earth is yours. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you. So the riches that we experience come from him. Verse 14, all things come from you. From your hand we have given back to you. It is as if I'm going to give to the church and put something in the plate. I take it from the Lord's hand and I set it in the plate. I'm simply a manager of that which he has entrusted to my care. The money that's in my bank account, not mine. It's the Lord's. Just holding it for him as he directs how to spend that money. That's how we as believers should be. David is telling us, listen, nothing that you have do you have because you have provided it. You might say, well, listen, Pastor, I went and got an education. I went to a trade school and I learned a trade. I put in a lot of sweat, blood, and tears. Yeah, but you wouldn't even have that skill without God. If you said, well, I went to college, who paid for it? Did you pay for it? The job that you had, God provided for you so that you could pay for it. If your parents paid for it, even they were used as channels of blessing, agents of God's provision to be able to provide for your education. Oh, well, I had scholarships. I had a loan. That's a temporary provision from God, even through an indirect resource that God has provided for you to be able to have an education. You built or started a business from scratch. You worked hard. That's still a gift from God. Every single thing we have is a gift from God. And so when we have an opportunity to give, we are giving out of the provision of God's resource. And we are simply called to be exercising a stewardship. And I even wrote in my notes, now before somebody begins to think or respond, this is an Old Testament passage. It's a time of David. Has nothing to do with us. Let's look at other scripture. Yeah. Psalm chapter 50, still in the Old Testament, but in Psalm chapter 50, verse 9 through 12. And this is not a psalm of David. This is a psalm of Asaph. And he was another group of musicians and those called by God to serve as musicians in the place of worship. In chapter 50, verses 9 through 12, he wrote, I shall take no young bull out of your house. This is him representing God's word to man. God says, I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds, because every beast of the forest is mine. In my Bible, that word mine is capitalized. That's God speaking. The cattle on a thousand hills, you've heard that. I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field is mine, capitalized M. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. It was understood in the Old Testament days that God owned everything, even if you might have it. Cattle on a thousand hills, a thousand cattle on one hill belongs to God. It's His. Praise the Lord. And then go to the New Testament, because yes, that's where somebody's going to say, well, it doesn't matter if it's not in the New Testament. You're wrong, but I will take you there anyway. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul trying to help the Corinthian church to understand the importance of this, he called it a grace ministry. The ministry of giving. The ministry of taking something that you have and passing it on to someone else who has need. And in this passage of Scripture, we find several bits of testimony and instruction for the Christian church that gives us clarity, guidance, how we handle blessings that have been poured into our lives. Specifically, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 6 through 12. I had in my notes 8 through 12, but as I was going over this morning, I can't leave out 6 through 12. Paul writes, now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Now that's a biblical principle. If you give a lot, you're going to reap a lot. Now, giving is not for the sake of getting something back. Not maybe physically or financially or materially. But there is a spiritual reaping. Okay? So whoever sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And let each one do just as he's purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly, under compulsion, being forced. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And this is the good part. Verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. Did you get the gist of that? Paul is saying God is providing for you abundantly so that you have resource in which to give to others. Again, that's the same principle as the Old Testament. Nothing you have is really yours. It comes from God. This is what Paul is saying here. He even uses an Old Testament expression. He says, as it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. And he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, as we exercise this giving out of what God has given to us, thanksgivings to God are popping up everywhere. He says we have this opportunity as God is blessing us and pouring out provision into our life to then turn around and be a blessing to others. Paul wanted the New Testament believers, includes us, I believe, to know that God has provided all things that we have. Even the initial funds for projects or for businesses or for education, all of that, a gift from God. The second thing we need to understand, it's a privilege to give. This passage is an expression of David saying, Lord God, thank you for letting us give to this project. And it was a campaign to build a temple, but he was just praising the Lord for the opportunity to be able to give. He considered it a privilege. Verses 10 through 15 of chapter 29. David blessed the Lord before all of the assembly. Said, Lord God, you have all greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty and dominion. You exalt yourself as head over all things. Riches and honor come from you. And now, Lord, you've given us this opportunity to praise you. And Lord God, who are we? Verse 14. Who are our people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? Because we acknowledge you have given us all things. It's a privilege, Lord, that you poured out into our lives and that you give us opportunity now to pour into other opportunities. This is a humble acknowledgement. God's dominion, sovereignty, provision. And then being able to participate with God in this campaign, God told Nathan, Solomon will build this temple. How can God's people be a part of that project? They'll give. They'll give happily. In fact, we'll look at it, they give willfully. And again, there's contentment in what David had received and the opportunity to be able to do what God was giving him to do. Even though it might not be the building of the temple, he was giving him opportunity to participate in that through the offerings. We find the same thing in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is kind of the backdrop for the words we heard out of chapter 9 a moment ago. The Apostle Paul was writing here to use a group of people, Macedonians, as an example of giving. Now, you can look on your church maps in the back of your Bible, and you'll find Macedonia up in the western part, kind of like where Eurasia might be, between Asia Minor and Europe, where Italy and Rome are. They're up in the upper northwest part of that is where you find Macedonia. And these were impoverished believers. They were people that had been persecuted. They didn't have much because of the persecution. They were poor. And Paul's testifying of them here in the 2 Corinthians letter. And he said, I just want to make known to you the grace of God that's been given to the churches of Macedonia. In a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy, their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Even in the midst of hardship and in the midst of poverty, there was a great liberality that happened to them. I testify, according to their ability and even beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor, participating in the support of the saints. And that is the saints that were over in Jerusalem. They're all the way across the water and in another land. But these people wanted the opportunity to be able to minister to them. They were willing and they were begging for the opportunity, according to the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, they didn't do as we expected. They gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And they gave abundantly. Down in verse 7, he says, "See that you abound in this gracious work also." He was trying to encourage the Corinthians about the way the Macedonians gave, that they had a willful and desirable heart to be able to participate in a ministry that they really didn't have a lot to give, and yet they wanted to give. This is what God's looking for. God's not necessarily looking for the richest of us to be generous with what we have, because it's not as much a sacrifice for them. Doesn't mean they aren't blessed to give, because they are. But for someone that doesn't have, it becomes a real sacrifice. The story of a pig and a chicken walking down the road, and they come to a place where there's a tavern, and it says ham and eggs, $2.99. And the pig turns over to the chicken and says, "For you, that's just a donation. For me, that's a sacrifice." Some things are just a donation for us. But when they take a chunk, "Ooh, I was planning on going on a vacation this year. This might take from vacation. Or I got to pay all the bills first and see what's left over, and then maybe God can get some of that." Listen, when we trust God and we give to Him, you're not going to lack. Be discerning. Be spiritual. Some people can't give like other people can. Our resources may not be as big as other people's resources, but we can still give. And let me tell you, when you do, you will experience a different kind of joy. It's a kind of joy that you can't explain. It's especially when you give and then you go, "Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for this." And who knows? Somebody gives you a check. A check comes in the mail. It's not unheard of. Laura and I, when we were first going to seminary, we didn't have the money, but matriculation came around and I had to pay price to go to seminary. Inevitably, within that month, somebody'd walk up to Laura with an envelope, anonymous, and there would be money in there that would pay the matriculation cost. We never missed a beat with paying bills or having food on the table. We gave to the Lord first, and then He blessed. Let me challenge you. God will make good on that challenge. He will show you His favorability, His faithfulness, and His favor upon those who trust Him with that kind of giving. And so the privilege to give willingly, and I told you I was going to address that issue, to give willingly, be a free will giver. Now, we use that term sometimes in improper ways today, free will. I looked it up in my concordance. It's listed 17 times in my concordance. Out of the 17 times free will is listed, it's connected to the word offering. It has to do with free will offering and giving money. The other time that free will is listed there, it is when the captives are given opportunity to come back to Jerusalem after the 70 years, and many of those who are willing, freely willing, came back with Zerubbabel. That's what those words mean. Let's be careful how we apply free will. They gave willingly out of their finances. You should never listen. If you're watching TBN or some other place and they tell you, "If you give us $100, God's going to do a miracle for you," change a channel. Don't fall for that junk. You should not be forced to feel guilty to give. You should give because the Lord stirs it up in your heart. And listen, if you're a child of God, He will. He'll stir that up in you. And then give. This verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "God loves a cheerful giver." In verse 7, give out of joy, because you know God's going to do something that's going to bless. Don't give feeling forced. Give because you know the Lord God is going to bless. The next thing is a provocation for giving. And I had to do that because all of my points were P. Provocation. What provokes me to give? What motivates me to give? Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't leave that out. David declares in 1 Chronicles And I'm summarizing here. You are the Lord God of Israel, our Father forever. Yours is the greatness, power, glory, majesty. It's your kingdom. You're exalted all over all others. We thank you and praise you. We're aliens and pilgrims before you, and our days on earth are but a shadow and without a hope. That was David's motivation for giving to the project, because God's God. And we're only here for a short while. David had millions in his treasury. Let's give this to this project. He saw it as a worthy project because it was going to honor the Lord. Thousands, millions would come from all around the area to worship in this temple. It was a worthy cause. David was provoked for that. So his motivation, God's God. He's worthy to be honored and worshiped. And so if I give just as he's given for me, then he will be blessed and honored. That's what I'm hoping for. And that's what Paul expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Let's read these words together. I am not speaking this as a command. So this is not Paul saying, I'm forcing you to give, but I'm proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. I'm trying to spark up, motivate you. And here's the kicker. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And why? So that you can give. Christ came out of riches down and make himself poor so that he might provide for us a way to become spiritually rich, so that out of that abundance of spiritual richness, we would be willing to give. That's how it works. That's our motivation. Christ Jesus died for us. The least we can do is be sacrificial in our giving back to opportunities and ministries that are worthy. And again, be prayerful for how you give, whenever you give. Many of you have been prayerful through this Operation Christmas Child ministry. We're going to come up to Wish Box ministry, the Blessing Box and the Wish Tree. Those are opportunities, again, to pour out blessing in your heart willingly, to give and be a support to others as God provides for you. And what's the provocation? Because Jesus came and died for me. It's very least that I can do to give a gift to a kid that doesn't have a dad at home. We can think on that for a while. Notice what the Macedonians did. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And this is really the key. You can give just to be religious. You can give because everybody else is giving and you don't want to look like you're not caring. But when you give, you should give because you know it's what God wants you to do. And it's going to minister to someone who has need. Macedonians were poor. They were persecuted. But you know what? Out of that poverty and out of the persecution, they realized the importance of having support from fellow believers. That's why they were willing to send a gift to Jerusalem, all the way across the ocean, to minister to others maybe they had never met, but that they knew had need. This is what moves us. And that is the motivation that these Macedonians had. And it came because they first gave themselves to the Lord. When we do that, we're sensitive to what the Lord is directing and leading us to do. In the flesh, we'll just do whatever the flesh wants to do. We'll say, well, I'm going to save up for my kids for Christmas this year, or my grandkids for Christmas this year. I know that a couple of years we gave to some ministries that provided goats or provided a water well for someone across the world, and we did it in our kids' names. What a blessing that they knew someone was being blessed across the ocean in their name as we gave a gift on their behalf. You know, that's a worthy gift. And we quit training our children that Christmas is about getting 100 gifts every year, of which 95 they will not play with, and they'd rather have the box. We do well to train our children. First give ourselves to the Lord, and then he will provide what we need to give for. He is motivating our giving. Just as he's given of himself, so we will do the same. And so the last point here, because it starts with a P, then proceed to give. Go give. Wherever the Lord leads you, whatever opportunity comes up that you have prayed through and you know the Lord's prompting you, give. And where's my justification for that? Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 8, and then 10 through 12. We kind of read some of these, but I'm going to read it again. Paul says, I'm not speaking this as a command, just proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. He's saying, I know you have this love in you. I'm just trying to prompt it so that you might go or prime in the pump so that you might respond. Look at verse 10. And I give my opinion in this matter. This is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. He's saying you had a point where you were thinking about, okay, we want to do this. We want to help them. He said in verse 11, but now finish doing it. Also, that just as there was a readiness and a desire, do it so that there may be a completion of it by your ability. See, the Apostle Paul is saying it's not enough just to have good intentions, to think about it. If you know the needs there. And these believers, Corinthians, they had said, oh, that sounds like a good project. We ought to do that. And they had an idea for it, but they never did finish it. Now Paul's saying you need to finish what you were thinking of. It's very easy for us to have the prompting and then to get sidetracked. When the Lord prompts us, it's an opportunity for us to experience immeasurable blessing and joy of being able to give as the Lord provides and then see what He does out of that. How many blessings I know I've missed because I've just disregarded or been too busy or sidetracked. When the Lord prompts you to give, give. That's what the Apostle Paul said here. And give according to the model that was set by the Macedonians. He said these folks gave according to what they had. They weren't able to give like others. And you and I need to be careful not to compare ourselves to what others are giving to whatever projects. You give what you can give. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. If you're willing to give, give what you can give. Don't worry about comparing. Many of you have given to the OCC ministry. We mentioned that a moment ago in various ways to be able to participate in the project, packing box, purchasing items, postage, all that stuff. Maybe you prayed. Maybe all you can do is pray. That's good. Many ways to give, and there are many other ministries to which we can give. Sometimes time is as important as finances. Think about that as we have sign-up sheets for next week. There are opportunities for us to be able to minister. We can all respond to that. So be grateful. God supplies what He supplies and then enables us to give as needs arise. Gives us opportunities through ministry opportunities. That's an opportunity for us to experience the joy of giving and the way the Lord works through that. But I'd like for us to especially consider being grateful for Christ Jesus. Again, I mentioned this earlier, the indescribable gift that God gives us through Christ Jesus. It is immeasurable. There's no way to explain adequately what God did through Christ. I will tell you this, He demonstrated His love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't like to think of it this way, but we owe Him our lives. We're indebted to His love, obligated to love Him. And how do we love Him? Through obedience, as He prompts us. Perhaps He's prompting you to give, believer. Give. And I'm not saying this because the church is poor or because any other reason outside of we had the opportunity to witness what it is to give to a ministry. We need to be mindful of that, not just through this season, but into the new year as well. And then there may be some sitting out here, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior. I look across this, most of you are church family. You belong to the family of faith here. You've trusted Christ, followed Him in commitment to this ministry. But if you've never trusted Him, He has provided all you need through Christ Jesus. And really, that's all you can have to come before Him face to face is Christ Jesus. We can offer up good works. We can put a lot of money on the plate when it comes by. We can sit in Sunday school classes and study the Bible until our ears are blue. But until you have Christ in your heart, you won't be changed. And when you do have Christ in your life, He will change everything. I pray that if you got conviction in your heart over sin that you're carrying and hasn't been forgiven, that you would continue to be convicted until the weight of that brings you to your knees so that you would call out to Him for salvation. Proverbs 28:13, I read it this week in my Bible reading. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes those sins, that one will have mercy. Lord God provides mercy. He withdraws and withholds from us what we truly deserve in the way of punishment from God because we've offended Him through sin. But He has taken that on through Christ Jesus. What a gift. I pray that you would know Christ. And one other thing, I have a quote here, and I wrote it down. It comes from the founder of the Institute for Creation Research, which I have a subscription with them and enjoy their materials. That Henry Morris, who has since deceased, he was the founder, he had this quote in one of his devotionals I read this week. Giving for the Christian is not a law to be obeyed, but it's a grace cultivated. It is a privilege. It's an opportunity to watch Christ be formed in our hearts. Christ who gave everything to give us that same kind of attitude that we're willing to give. Because we have a model, a pioneer, as it were, Christ Jesus, who showed us how to do that. I pray we'll be faithful. As this year takes a turn, we go into a new year. We carry this heart for giving. God has provided that heart. And may we praise Him for the provisions He makes for us to be able to do so. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You've given us this morning of so many things that have been on the table today. I pray, Father, that our hearts have been settled upon You, Your Spirit, Your truth, as You've spoken, even through this cracked vessel. Lord God, that You'd be glorified today. That no one would leave this place today without having a conviction one way or another, Lord God, that we can serve You and know the joy that it is, Lord God, to reap bountifully. We love You. Thank You for loving us through Christ Jesus, who died for us while we were still sinners, who's raised to life today, Father, so that we might know life eternal as well, and then have opportunity to participate in this grace gift of giving. You are glorious, worthy of our praise, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the one You sent to save us. Amen. God bless. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. You can kneel at the altar if you wish. I'll pray with you. But let's take time to respond.
All to Jesus I surrender.
I pray that this is our prayer. We'd be willing to surrender all that we have to Your glorious name. And Father God, the display of our life would simply be the outpouring of Your presence. And that, Father, You would be exalted in that way. We love You because You've loved us first through Christ. As we pray in His name, we do it. Amen. All right, I'll be teaching again tonight on the power of the Word of God in our lives. We had first half last week. We'll have the second part tonight. I think there's a deacon meeting at 4:30 as well. And so, see you this evening. God bless.
We're going to close with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
God bless.